And we are in the midst of studying why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, and why they do not need to. Let's start off by opening the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, what I'd like to do tonight, my objective tonight, is to complete our study in this passage and then move on in our study. We have the seven-headed dragon we need to look at, and that is why hate, anger, bitterness, jealousy, fear, the seven-headed dragon of the soul. And then we need to close the study with who you are in Christ. We've used that phrase a lot, but we need to end it with the study of who you are in Christ. But let's begin, first of all, tonight with a word of prayer, that the Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to this closing verse that we'll be looking at in 2 Corinthians 10 as to how it relates to stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close out this year, there are so many Christians in the body of Christ in this country alone who are so filled with stress and depression, so hurt about their lives, unfulfilled in who they are. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will continue to give us wisdom as we open the scriptures and let's see what you have to say in this issue. And that, Father, you will, in your miraculous way, get these tapes to those who will listen, to those who do not want to be under this strain and of stress and depression and anxiety, and who will see that all that we need to do is to trust you and what to do and why they experience it. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that we can cover these things. Your Spirit will open our eyes, ears, and make these things so real to us that we're looking at, and to those that will listen to this on tape later. Father, we pray these things because this is your solution to our problem. You had a solution to our eternal problem at the cross. I pray, Father, that we can find the same peace as we understand your solution to our stress and our depression. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's just read from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, not according to our wisdom, our abilities, our strengths, and these type of things, but divinely powerful. Divinely powerful is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, for the tearing down, the destruction of the fortresses in the soul. Verse 5, we are destroying, now the fortresses are here defined, speculations and every lofty thing. Lofty thing means a thought pattern that is set above who and what you are in Christ. This is the highest thought process that you go through, the highest thought you have that's the most important. Then it says, raised up against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. Now, people right here, both here and those that are listening to this on tape and experiencing stress, anxiety, depression, experiencing sad, here's the heart of it right here. Your knowing of God. Your view of God. What is your view of God? What is your view of all that you're going through? And whether you realize it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, as a Christian, all these things that are happening to you, fundamentally, your analysis of them depend on your view of God, your knowledge of God. The most difficult thing to get people to realize is the way that you treat yourself and the way that you treat other Christians is fundamentally dependent upon your view of God. This is what God would have me to do to you. I'm not talking about when we sin against one another. But when we deal with one another and in the position of a Christian life, it's basically our view of God. It is not our view of them. It is not our view of sin. It is our view of that person. It is our view of God. It's not our view of that person. It's not our view of sin. This is what God would have me to do. This is my view and my understanding of God. Now we relate that to ourselves. This is the same thing that happens to us. This is my view of God in reference to me. This is my knowledge of God. Things happen and so we cry out, as is all through the Scripture, what is God doing to me? Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? God doesn't love me anymore. God doesn't care about me anymore. What is happening to me is because I am no good. I deserve to be punished by God. I'm a loser. Preacher tells me I'm a loser. Christian friends tell me I'm a loser. I'm no good. And so I don't deserve anything from God. And all of this adds to our stress, anxiety, and depression, and it is used to interpret what is going on in our life and in our past. Now, these are not true views of God. These are not biblical views. These are not true understanding of God. These views of God are raised up against the true knowledge of God. And what we have to do is tear down these fortresses that are building this false view of God so that the true knowledge of God can come into focus. Let's look at the phrase knowledge of God. What God really is like. What kind of God is our God? And we start off with a declaration made in Scripture, God is love. And I want to start out with every person that is struggling from stress, depression, God loves you. God has already provided everything you need to tear down these fortresses in your soul that have attributed to stress and depression in your life. God has created you a new being. You are not that old person. You are a new created being, reconciled with God already, and worthy to be loved by Him and worthy to serve Him. What about your sins and failures? Because you say they're a reality. You can say whatever you want to say, but I know I sin, and all my friends make sure I know that I sin. So that's a reality. Well, let's talk about that reality. Is it a reality? What did God do about your sins? What kind of God is He? He has already taken care of the sin problem on the cross. Now, this comes to one of those dramatic points in your life. You have to say, well, yeah, I understand that, but no, you don't. Not experientially. You may understand it intellectually, but you do not understand it personally, experientially. God has already taken care of the sins on the cross. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that He has already taken care of all the sins that you've ever committed, past, present, and future, on the cross? What happens here is that many Christians like to talk about the cross, sing songs about the cross, roll their eyes about the cross, love cross messages and sermons and all that, except when it comes to personal sins in the Christian life. Then they want you to pay for it, they want you to hurt for it, and they want you to have a burden and just pay for all those sins. Well, wait a minute, I thought Christ had already paid for them. Well, and then they start jabbering. They start jabbering and put you under Satan's lie. People, either He died for the sins, our sins on the cross, or He did not die for our sins on the cross. You can't have it both ways. I don't know that we've done this in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, but we've done it several times in my other studies, so I just want to be sure it's in this study. Where we begin to know about God, true knowledge of God. If we want to have a true knowledge of God, and we're tearing down these fortresses that we have exalted above the true knowledge of God, where do we really start learning about what God is like? And I'm putting this in respect to your stress and your depression, your circumstances, and things that happen into your life. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. I don't know that I tried to look at my notes to see if we've gone this journey in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression. I couldn't find it right away, so maybe we have, maybe we haven't. I know we have in other studies here, but this is for the series of stress and depression. Genesis chapter 1, we'll not deal so much in verse 1. That's not our point of study and contention. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, verse 2. The earth became this. The earth became formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. I'm not here to study verse 2. The word deep is very important throughout all the Bible, but that's not our point right now. The earth was formless and void and darkness. That's what I want to concentrate on. That's what your life may feel like when you're under sad. Formless. Doesn't seem to take a shape. Void. Void of importance. Void of vitality. Void of what is important in life, and darkness. Your life is just dark. Your soul is dark. Okay, what does God do? Was over the surface of the deep. It's a description not only of the earth, but of us. What does God do? And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This is the same Spirit that moves inside of you to tear down the fortresses that of darkness that are built in your soul. This is the same Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit moving over this darkness and this void is the same Spirit that moves against the fortresses that are built up in your soul. Now, what does God do when He comes upon darkness? What does God do? Let's just talk about, you think the reason for your stress, anxiety, and depression are your sins and failures, and your Christian friends, who are the friends of Job, have made you think that way. What does God do? I want to start true knowledge of God. Then God said, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. This is the true knowledge of God. Let there be light. This is what kind of God He is. This is what kind of God He is. Start learning true knowledge of God as we tear down those lies that build us strongholds and fortresses. Let's start replacing them with true knowledge of God. He comes upon darkness in the world. Let's talk about in you. And what does God say? He says, let there be light. What does that mean? Let there be life, L-I-F-E, light and life. Let there be a way out, so that you can see the way out. Let there be a deliverance. Let there be my son. This is played all the way through the Bible. Called the trail of light. Takes us right up to light coming into the world, a Christmas story, since we're in December here. This is seen all through the Bible. God comes upon a world that's void and dark, sin, and He doesn't become judgmental and walk away and say, to heck with that, I'm going to go somewhere else. He says, let there be light. He comes upon you, and you hurt tonight. And you're bored, and you're stressed, and you're hurt. So God comes upon you, whatever your view of God is, and say what God does. He says, let there be light. He comes across a world full of sinners, and He says, let there be light. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, the light came into the world. The light came into the world. That's the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. God comes across a believer who is in sin, in the darkness. Life is void. So what happens when we're in sin? Void, darkness, gloom, all these things we see in Genesis 1, 2 describe what happens to us when we're in sin. So what does God do? He sends His Spirit. His Spirit comes upon us when we're in that condition, and He gives us light. He starts restoring. If we will let Him. If we will let Him, and we're talking, that's what we're talking about in this study. So if you're suffering from SAD tonight, know the truth about God. This is the heart of why you do suffer it, and it's the truth of how you're going to come out from it. Understanding God. We experience stress, anxiety, and depression because we interpret it from Satan's lie. We interpret it from view of ourselves. We interpret it in view of the world. We're occupied with ourselves. This isn't happening to anyone else. I'm more hurt than anyone else. I'm poorer than others. I'm not as attractive as others. I don't have as much money as others. I have more trouble than others. And I ought to have this, and I ought to have that. In America, we sit and we get so filled up with all of this, and we lose sight of what's really important. Talk to John Hintz today. John Hintz is my friend, the pastor in Tucson. They found some missionaries. They've known him for a while, but John and the whole missionary crew got together with his men at a little retreat type thing, and then came down to the church. There's a family. They're not as trained, and they're missionaries down in Mexico. And an 18-year-old girl, she went in and started in a remote area, her own little hospital. She's not a doctor. Own training class. Own teaching. They live off a very small amount of money, and I'm hoping that when I get some more information that we can be a part. And the whole family, I forgot how many John told me, I'll get all the details for you. John, they go to where the money comes in, and they take whatever amount of money's there, and they just divide it up against all the families. And his children, and then they all go back. And if there's a small amount, then that's all they can spend. If there's more, that's all that they do. And he just goes down and teaches, and his message is truth. And his world is not wrapped up in things that we're wrapped up in America. If his garage door doesn't open or open, if this doesn't happen or happen, if he doesn't drive this car, that car, if he's not, those things are not part of this world. But they're part of our world because of where we live. But that's why we have stress, anxiety, and depression. And that's why we have no right to it, people. Once we start having a true knowledge of who we are in God. So we've got to start the... We have stress and depression in our soul because of our view of God. And we're going to start removing stress and depression in our soul by truly understanding God. Know what kind of God He is. What all that He has already provided for you, all that He has done for you, that you do not have to suffer stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, I know there are many Christians whose view of God is that you should be suffering, you deserve to be miserable. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Many Christians actually take comfort that you are sad tonight because it confirms their view of God. And people, that's a sad Christian in my opinion. But I want you to understand, there are a lot of Job's friends out there. And if you are miserable and if you're sad, stressed, and depressed, that gives them comfort. Because, that proves my God is there. Because, boy, you're hurting. And you're miserable and you're hurting tonight. And you are not used by God. Oh, I find wonderful comfort in that. That confirms my view of God. But if you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression tonight, let me encourage you, stay away from the friends of Job. These are Job's friends. They're not yours. They're the kind of friends that Job had that destroyed his soul, that crushed his soul. Get away from these believers. They are not servants of God. They're not servants of the cross. The cross is reconciliation, restoration, harmony. That's what the cross is. These are not friends of the cross. These are not friends of what God is about. Stay away from them. They're not true friends. Okay, and we are taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. If there's one statement that announces the process of ending stress, anxiety, and depression in your life, this is it. Let me read it again. Look at it if you have your Bibles open. I hope you do if you're sitting at home listening to this. I know you're hurting. I know you're stressed out, depressed. But if you've gone to the trouble to listen to it, get a Bible. Have it out and read it. And let's take a look, because right here's the heart. This announces the process of ending stress. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. As strongholds in your soul start coming down, this is what will start happening in your soul. But first, we must allow the Holy Spirit to tear down the strongholds. Now, the phrase taking captive, it's a present active participle. It's a verb. It's a present participle. And this means that it's a process. It's an ongoing thing in your soul. It's an ongoing thing in your life. These strongholds take captive of our spiritual life that we've been studying. The strongholds that we've been studying take captive of our spiritual life. We've already studied this. They keep us from living moment by moment in faith, by faith. The strongholds are barriers to faith. The strongholds are barriers to being and living and becoming who you are in Jesus Christ. That's what these strongholds do. They keep us from doing this. But as the Holy Spirit breaks these strongholds down, tears them down, you will start taking captive. The present active participle is the verb of taking prisoners. And this taking of prisoners is always going on in your life. And it ends sad in your life. Now, who are we taking captive? Not people. Not circumstances. Not anything outside of you. Why? Because things outside of you are not why you are stressed and depressed. I know we've covered this so many times. People think it's because of their circumstance. Because of what happened to them in the past, because of what is happening to them now. No. We have chosen to be stressed, have anxiety, and be depressed, and we blame it on the circumstances. No, it's inside. Taking captive Now, who are we taking captive? Not our circumstances and not people. Look what it says. Every thought. Every thought. People, this has been the momentum of our study all along. Whatsoever man thinketh he is. This is inside of you. This is going on inside of us. Stress, anxiety, and depression is from the way to do that. You have chosen to be depressed. You choose to be depressed. You choose to come under stress. So what we're going to do, if you will, and that's good news. Remember, some people fight that. No, that's not true. Don't fight it, because it really is good news. Because if it is coming from inside you, if it is not something that is involuntary, that means we can do something about it. That means we can do something about the stress and depression without changing everybody around us. And what do we want to do? We're going to take captive every thought. The Greek word here means to perceive. The way we perceive things, it means a thought, a concept of the mind. We are not battling people. We're not battling circumstances. When you're under stress and depression, you're not battling circumstances. You're not battling your spouse. You're not battling your parents. You're not battling your Christian friends. You're not battling these things. You're battling thoughts in your own mind. And these thoughts are causing stress and depression. Has nothing to do with it. They're real or unreal. You've chosen to think this way. We're going to take these thoughts, and the military motif is being carried through here, taking captive every thought, a concept of mind. No bloodshed here. No people here. We're not battling these things. Instead of strongholds of Satan's lie, we now take every thought, every perception into captivity. Every understanding. Let's back up. Let's have a little fun here very quickly. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses we are destroying. Now look here. Speculation. See that word speculations? Remember we studied speculations? What were speculations? They were considerations and reflections preceding and determining conduct. Remember that? We spent some time there because that's why we have stress, anxiety, and depression. What's a speculation? Considerations, reflections. Considerations, reflections. What does that mean? Well, what's happening in my life and what happened in my life? I was molested as a little boy. I was raped as a little girl. I was abused by my parents. I was neglected by my parents. And my interpretation of that, what does it say here? It says our reflection and consideration. So I reflect on what happened, and I consider this is why it happened. And all of this is going to determine conduct. Conduct is what? Stress, anxiety, and depression. Logismos. Remember the word? The supreme activity which constitutes man as he is. As the supreme function, it controls all the other functions. We've studied all of this. They control the way you think, control your emotions, control your decisions. They control you till you come under stress, anxiety, and depression. Not anymore. Not anymore. We're going to start taking these under siege. We're going to start taking these thoughts as we tear down the fortresses, and start allowing the Spirit to capture them. These speculations, these interpretations are now going to be captured. And what's going to happen? They're going to be submitted. Like when you capture an enemy, you're going to put them in submission to Christ. Submitted to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean? It says, to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? This means that all our thoughts, all of our interpretations about what's happened to us, what is happening to us, all these kinds of things about ourselves, about our sins, our failures, our circumstances, our marriages, our finances, our health, our life, whatever it may be, our whole life, we're going to put that all now submitted to Jesus Christ. To who you are in Him. What does it mean to be in obedience to Christ? When did you first come, and how did you first come to obedience of Christ? By faith in Christ, right? how we all did it first. That's what you're doing here. It means that every thought, every interpretation about your life is now submitted to Jesus Christ, who you are in Christ, not to Satan's lie. If you're suffering from stress and anxiety and depression as you're listening to this, I can't make anything more beautiful, more clear. We're going to take the interpretation of your life, of your circumstances, and instead of looking at them through Satan's lie, through the law, what we're going to do is we're going to look at them submitted to Christ. What did Christ do about them? What is the truth as to who I am in Christ? So what does it mean to be obedient to Christ? It means trust Him. It's the act of faith. John 3:36. The obedience that God is looking for is our faith. That's the obedience. John 14. What does Christ want to us to believe and to love? The phrase means that every thought, every interpretation is now submitted to who you are in Christ, not Satan's lie. So now, I'm going to take every sin, every attack by your Christian friends, all the things that have happened, by your husband, by your wife, by your parents, by your children, by the preacher, by other Christians. You're a loser. You're no good. And you're going to take every one of these as prisoners of war. You're going to make every one of these things a prisoner of war. And once they have become a prisoner, you're going to submit them to the obedience that is in Christ. In other words, to interpret them as to what Christ has done for you. Submit to the Messiah. No, you're not all those things. They are conquered. How? By who you really are in Christ. The strongholds, the world, the flesh, others. You're a loser, you're no good, you're unworthy. You're going to take all of that captive now. That's not who I am. I am who I am in Christ. He's in control. You deserve all these things to happen to you. That's what Job's three friends said to him. Take that thinking into captivity. We're going to take that thinking into captivity now by the truth. You are beloved by God. You deserve to be loved by God. You deserve to be used by God. That's what we're going to do with these things. Take every attack, every judgment into captivity as to who and what you are in Christ. And people, is this easy? Yes and no. I put it this way. It is simple, but it's not easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. Why isn't it easy? Because we keep wanting to live under Satan's lie. But the more that we tear down these fortresses in our soul, and the more we start living by faith of who we are, these things become a reality. Then and only then will you start living who you are in Christ. Once you start taking captive the thoughts and the perceptions that this happened to you because you deserved it, and that you are no good, and that life is terrible, and all these things, and you start capturing them and submitting them to who you are in Christ, you're never going to live who you are in Christ until you start doing that. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You don't need to turn here, but if you're home, if you have a minute, look in your Bible to Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Not just every thought are we going to take captive, but every understanding. See, if I take an understanding of why I was raped as a child, why I was raped as a little girl, why I was abused as a little boy, why I was abused as my parents, and why all of these things are happening, why my husband is treating me this way, why my wife is treating me this way, why the world is all of these things happening, how am I going to understand all of that, interpret all of that? However you think it, interpret. The word thinking here says the idea of the same thing we're dealing with. How you understand all of this, that's the way you're going to think. Why this happened, your view of God. But now what we're going to do is start taking all those things that come out of Satan's lie, are those things, I'm going to catch them. And we're going to say, lie. That's a lie. This is who I am in Christ. And I believe it. I believe that when he died on the cross and rose again, and I believed in him, I became like him. And these things are not who I am, and this is not why these things are happening to me. And as we slowly start pulling these things into captivity, then people are going to start living who you are in Christ. Please turn to Isaiah 26. This is brief, friends. We're closing out this section, so I want to pull some things together that we've looked at some time ago and show you how it all works together. We could keep coming back and forth to a lot of these things because they're the play on why we have stress, anxiety, and depression. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. And I'll deal with it the way we have worked on it so long on the corrected translation. In the original text, we have our part first. In the original Hebrew, it says, the steadfast of mind. Now, that means a mind that will trust Him. That means a mind that will trust Him. Now, God can do His part. God will keep in perfect peace. There's the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression. See, you're pulling your thoughts into captivity. You're no longer going to be thinking about yourself, about your problems, about how horrible things are, how you've been mistreated, how the world owes you something, how all these people hurt you and your parents. By the way, as we continue this journey, we move into a study all of its own dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression, and that is the most difficult, forgiveness, forgiving others. Many people suffer a great deal of stress, anxiety, and depression because they cannot, will not forgive. Just can't do it. People, if you go this journey this way, forgiveness becomes an easy flow. It becomes almost an obvious thing to do next. And you keep your mind on Him instead of on you, how you have been treated, how you have been sinned against, how you have been hurt, how people have hurt you, how your parents have hurt you, how others have hurt you, how the world has hurt you, and it's all about you. But if you start changing your thought pattern and pull that into captivity into Christ, and have your mind stayed fast on Him, you're going to find it very easy to forgive. And that's what we'll be looking at soon. God will keep in perfect peace, no stress, anxiety, and depression. Why? Now, what does it mean, a steadfast mind? Because He's Christ. Indeed. And we studied all this. That's God's part. So God, your part, steadfast mind, then God, keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because you trusted in Him. Remember the things we noted about faith. Faith does not create this peace. God does. Your faith does not create this peace. God does. Your faith does not save. God does. Your faith is how we tap into God's provision. Look at verse 4. Kind of like a therefore. Trust in the Lord forever. What does forever mean? That means forever, ever? It means every moment of your life. Day in and day out. People, it means it when you don't want to, when you're hit, side-blinded. Somebody hurts you. Somebody lets you down. Somebody does something to you that just brings up all this stuff. It conjures up the memory of how you were treated in the past, how you were abused, how you were neglected, how this has happened. That's when you want to get right back there. What does it say? It says, trust in Him. So again, here's the secret of life. The secret of being free of stress, anxiety, and depression is found in trusting Him. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. A life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. And what is it done? It centers on your view of God, true knowledge of God. You will conquer more by faith than by flesh. Let me repeat that. You will conquer more by faith than you ever will by flesh understanding. You will conquer more by love than by hate. You will conquer sad by faith, not by changing the circumstances. You will conquer sad by faith, not by trying to be a better person. You will conquer sad by love and forgiveness, not by hate and holding regret, holding things against one another. Why we experience stress, anxiety, and depression? Because we're holding on to ourselves. We're making ourselves an issue. Our image of ourselves, our image of what we think we ought to have, be, all these kinds of things, what others think of us. But what God is looking for, is humility. What is humility? Humility is a person who will walk by faith. Arrogance is a person who will not walk by faith. Humility is a person who walks by faith, as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as God's concerned. And this is what Satan hates. Satan hates an humble person. He cannot stand an humble person. All right, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up and exalted against the knowledge of God, true knowledge of God. Again, most Christians experience that because of their view of God, their understanding of God, that God is so small, that God is so vindictive, that God, boy, he's up there keeping score, and he's just getting even with me. That's most Christians' view of God, and it's not the biblical view. And that's why some time ago we went through, can the strongholds be torn down by just trusting him? The answer to that depends on your view of God. Not the view of yourself and your strongholds. It's my view of God that if I just trust him, he will tear down the strongholds in my soul. Yes, he will. Do you really believe that stress, anxiety, and depression can be ended in your life if you just start learning to walk by faith? It's the view of God. It's not your view of your circumstances. It's not your view of your anxieties and your depression. It's the view of God. Can God do that? A lot of Christians have a very small God. He needs me to help. He needs this. He needs that. He needs to change circumstances. Listen, God is so big, he doesn't need to change anyone around you to make you free of stress, anxiety, and depression. That's how big he is. That's how big he is. He doesn't have to change the whole highway so that you can drive from point A to point B without getting all stressed out. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to go down and correct every driver on the freeway so that you can get there without stress. He can change you. He can deal with you. I use that little example of the larger things that go on as far as our life is concerned. Now, I'm going to give you a little principle in dealing with your view of God and your knowledge of God. You do not know God. You do not know God by learning about him. You know God by experiencing him. You do not know love by learning about love. You learn about love by experiencing it. It cannot be defined. It cannot be defined. What is love? All these types of things. It can't be defined. You know about love not by learning about it. You learn about God not by learning about him. You learn about God by experience. People, the Jews, understand what I'm talking about. Let me explain. Throughout the age of Israel and throughout most of all the Old Testament and even coming into the church age, they didn't have books like we do. They didn't have seminars and paper and pencils and writing, and everybody had a copy of the law, all these kinds of things. They learned about God and how they lived. What does God want me to do here? What does God want me to do there? Remember, we studied this in our study about a covenant relationship with God. Your understanding of your covenant relationship with God. You're going to have a relationship with God based on the Abrahamic covenant or the Mosaic covenant. And that's so important, because the covenant by which you choose to deal with God and God with you is how you're going to deal with others under that same covenant. And if it's by law, then God's going to get me if I'm bad, and I'm going to get you if you're bad. But if you live by the Abrahamic covenant, which is forgiveness, grace, love of the cross, Mount Zion, then that's how you're going to deal with one another. So we've got to understand, what is our view of God? Most Christians, preachers, Christian counselors, all these type of people, what they really do is put us into deeper bondage of stress, anxiety, and depression by keeping us under law, keeping us under Satan's lie, than freeing us. Sad, stress, anxiety, and depression is not from the experience or circumstances, but because of what you believe. They're your faith pattern. Stress, anxiety, and depression is not from the experiences of your life, they're what you believe. But I believe this is happening to me because God doesn't like me. I believe this is happening to me because I deserve it. I believe this is happening to me for this reason or that. And therefore, you need to become stressed, anxiety, and depressed about it. How could they do this to me? I am in pain or sad because of what I believe, not because of what is happening to me. You have to realize that. You have to almost say those very words. I am in pain or stress, anxiety, and depression because of what I believe, not because of what has happened to me. And what do you believe? You believe Satan's lie. And it'll do you so good, and if you're suffering from stress and depression, to say it. I actually live under Satan's lie. I believe it. I believe the lie that says I am worthless. I believe the lie that says I am no good. I believe the lie that says I'm a loser. I'm ugly. I'm a failure. I'm not worthy of love of God. I'm not worthy to serve God. And I believe this. It's not true. That's why you do what we do in distress, anxiety, and depression, because of your faith pattern. This is what you believe. I believe Satan's lie. I had it on earlier. You're probably just flying through in the fake series. George Beverly Shaves Reese is what we're doing. We want to sing a little amen to him. Okay, just turn that off. There you go. So, it's a faith pattern. So let me repeat it so that we'll see it. You've got to be able to say this. I am in pain or sad because of what I believe, not because of what is happening to me. And what I believe is Satan's lie. I truly believe that I deserve the bad things that have happened to me, and I'm so depressed about it. I truly believe I'm worthless, and I believe I'm a loser, and I believe, because my preachers told me I'm a loser, and I believe I'm ugly, and I believe I'm a failure, and I believe I'll never amount to anything because my parents told me that. And I believe that, and so I'm just not going to try. I'm just going to stay where I am. But now the truth is that we want to start taking all that in captivity now, and the truth is this. I am who I am in Christ. Now we're going to start believing the lie. And until you let go of the lies and start bringing them into captivity, submitted to Christ, you're never going to get to who you are in Christ, people. You're always going to be thinking about it from Satan's lie rather than from the truth. You must be set free of the lie before you can move into the truth. And we've already studied it last week, I guess, last time. Truth will set you free from stress, anxiety, and depression. The truth of who you are in Christ. So you must be set free first. Set free of the law. Set free of the flesh. Set free of Satan's lie. Set free of bondage of what others think of you. And turn free by the truth. And explain what happens to some Christians. Many Christians. Many of you may be listening right now. At the same time that they are hearing truth about God and about themselves, at the same time they're sitting here or listening to the tape, same time or some church, the same time they hear the truth, at that same moment, they're holding on to the lie. You're not going to make it anywhere. And then they try to wonder, well, why isn't this working? I go to this church and I try this and I try that, all spiritual Christian things, type things. And none of them work. I'm just hopeless. I'll never be happy. And I'll always be under stress and depression. Because the very time frame that you're listening to the truth, you're holding on to the lie. You're holding on to what Satan says. We're going to start looking at that next time. You're holding on to what Satan says. You're being told the truth, but you're holding on to the lie. Crash. Truth. Lie. Boom. Got a crash. And you wonder why it's not coming into your soul. Why isn't it making an imprint? Why isn't it changing my life? Because you're holding on. People, we've got to tear down the fortress of those lies so that you can hear the truth. So that you will hear the truth of who you are in Christ. So first of all, we let the lie go and we tear it down. So, and many Christians try. They try so hard to learn, but they're holding on to the understand that it is a lie. Please let go of the lie. Faith is the beginning. Faith is the beginning of setting yourself free of Satan's lie. Faith is the beginning of tearing down the strongholds. So like God said, the truth will set you free. God will set you free. Christ will set you free. and the Holy Spirit will make freedom a reality if we trust Him. Let's see, next week is Christmas week, so we will not have service on Christmas night. Let y'all have that time with your family. So the first Wednesday in the new year, we're going to start a new thrust in the study. But let's close with just reading this passage. Get it under our belt, as we do every time, and then we'll be ready for the next segment, dealing more with Satan's lies. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now, that's how we live, we do not war. It's the first time we have the word war, so you're in a war. Note the motif of this whole flow. We do not war and battle according to the flesh, the weapons of the flesh, the thinking of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare that we're in, which is spiritual, invisible, are not of the flesh. It's material. It can't handle with the invisible. But divinely powerful, and we've noted that with studies in Galatians, that's the Holy Spirit, for the destruction of fortresses. It's fortresses that we build up in our soul that's keeping us in bondage. We are destroying, and actually you can forget we are, divinely powerful, for the destruction or the tearing down of fortresses, destroying, so now we know what those forces are, destroying speculations, that's the perceptions and the interpretations and how we act on them, lofty things, those are the things that we exalt above as the most important, and that's what we do in this life, the knowledge of God. See, knowledge of God's the idea here. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Any questions? That's closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful what you did for us at the cross in providing salvation, and we made it part of our Christian joy to tell others about your salvation, to witness. But as Christians, Heavenly Father, we continue that gospel truth. And we have such good news for other Christians who live under the bondage of stress, anxiety, and depression. We have wonderful news for the unbeliever for eternal life, and we have wonderful news for the believer of wonderful, joyful experience of life without stress and depression, no matter, Heavenly Father, what's happened in their life. See what kind of God you are. I pray, Father, that we will continue to tell others of the good news for believers, the gospel for Christians, and that you will use this assembly next year to continue to get this message out to believers who may hurt, believers who experience stress and depression. So we use the series of studies to help them to see the truth. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to take us on the journey, no matter what our studies take us next year, and opening our eyes more and more of who you are and who we are in Christ, what you would have us to do in our lives. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.